This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Demers, CPA with Parmelis & Associates. I was thinking about covering something else this week, but we have been teased for weeks about what Trump is calling the largest tax cut in U.S. history. What we know about it and what we think is going to be in there, and will any of this actually get passed in Congress, is what we're going to talk about this week. Before that, I just wanted to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Remember, if you want your question answered on here, just have a topic you want me to discuss, like this week's episode, or anything else in between, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Want to talk to me about accounting and tax services for your repair shop? Shoot us a text message at 301-307-5413. And lastly, but surely not least, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors. If you need to find a next rock star for your team, make sure to give Promotive a call. If you're looking for a full-service staffing solution that does everything from sourcing, qualifying, creating job descriptions, scheduling interviews, to negotiating job offers, Promotive is your answer. Visit them online at gopromotive.com. To talk about where we think things are headed, or like a lot of what we talk about on this podcast, is speculating what we think is going to happen, I have to bring you guys up to speed about why now. And I'll talk about this later. Hunt, why are we talking about this? We'll get into this. But where do things stand? There has to be something that led to this, but what are the steps leading up to this event we have right now? I would say that some of this, and specifically my interest in this, probably was peaked again in the end of April. Like April 30th, there was a tweet, but President Trump actually turned that tweet into a press release from the official White House website. The video clip was from him at a rally talking about no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, and no tax on Social Security. This is something that they talked about last year. This is something that's often brought up on a campaign trail, but had not really been seen for a while, or at least kind of promised. What that clip that then was used as a press release on the White House's website that expanded on this said was, in the coming weeks, you're going to see the most big, most beautiful bill and the largest tax cut in U.S. history to include not only this, no tax on tips, overtime, and Social Security, but among a lot of other things. Just like a lot of times, hey, we've heard these promises before. We know that they're working on a tax bill here, but the renewed call for no tax on tips, overtime, and Social Security was something that was a little bit puzzling. Why now? There is currently a bill, the bill that we've been talking about, the most beautiful bill, the largest tax cut in U.S. history, is in Congress. Not in Congress as in a fact that we know what's in there, it's been agreed upon, and it's a formality of voting. Absolutely not. We are at a very, very early stage, and it's currently with what is called the Ways and Means Commission. My elementary, middle school, high school teachers would probably be mean to me if I admitted that I'm not exactly sure about what the Ways and Means Commission does, but like the title entails, essentially the commission is supposed to look at generally the economic impact of this. Largely political, because no one can tell the future on this, but essentially, what would this stuff cost us? What did this stand to cost us in the future, gain us in the future? But that's how we're getting some of these leaks. We know some of the stuff that is in there, but again, this stuff is not even close to getting passed, and a lot of the stuff is deliberately in there to be talking points, to be bargaining points, and they're going to get rid of it. And lastly, like I said, I cannot reiterate this again. By the time that you listen to this episode, the information is probably going to be different. I'm recording this, we'll be honest with you guys, 3 days before this episode comes out. Thursday, May 15th, I believe, is when this is supposed to be in Congress. And you guys should actually see what ends up in there. But yeah, this is early edition. I'm recording this before. Some of this is speculation. If you're listening to this in the summertime, yeah. Probably not the best information here, 2-3 months. But again, the ideas behind it, why they're doing this, should never change. Like I said before, Hunt, this has not been passed yet. Like you've talked about before, this could change. This is all speculation. Why are we talking about it now? Why are we talking about it this week? First and foremost, I listen to you guys. Too many people have asked me about this, have been asking me about this, have been asking me if I've covered it. Here it is. Yeah, I'm being kind of tongue-in-cheek on this one. I record in this closet, studio, whatever you want to call it, to talk about stuff that you guys want to listen to. If you guys ask me enough and it's a good, legitimate, legal question on it, I'm going to cover it on an episode. That's probably the first and most important one. Doesn't generally matter what I think about something. If you guys want to hear it, I'm going to talk about it. Number two is, this is a financial podcast. If someone promises what's called the largest tax cut in U.S. history, we have to talk about it, whether it's been passed or not. And lastly, like I said, I am a sucker on this no tax on tips and overtime. I did not think we would continue to hear about it. You guys have heard my concerns and maybe some glee on this, because I think that there is an opportunity for abuse here, which also means that there's an opportunity for planning. But yeah, the big push on this one made me think, man, this could really come true. All in all, my interest in this and kind of the rest of this episode is going to be broken down into two categories on here. And again, I've been recording this before. All of this stuff, I'm going to give you my opinion on if I think it's going to happen, if it's not. And again, try to explain maybe why I think it's going to happen versus not. The implications and the kind of the economics behind why I think this is a good or bad idea don't necessarily translate into if these guys are going to listen to me and do the same thing, but they probably should resonate with you, or I hope they do. There is really two major things in this bill. There is stuff that we've heard about. There's stuff that is already in our tax law that we're more or less extending here, or maybe expanding slightly, but also extending the time frame on. And there's also some campaign promises. Pretty much there's a lot of stuff that we've seen before. We know what's going to look like. And then there's the no tax on overtime. There's a no tax on Social Security. There is a new millionaire's tax bracket. Some of those wrenches that get thrown in here that are like, this is what you promised. A lot of people want to see this. Some of these are extremely, extremely popular. But again, I don't know if we're ever going to see the light of day. Before we get into the speculative stuff and probably the ones that you came here to listen to, let's talk about some of the nittier gritty stuff, but stuff that I really think is we're going to be talking about this one way or another. These four things I think are pretty much a guarantee to stay on what we've seen before, but it looks like most of these, they're trying to expand them. So let's go down and kind of talk about those. So the first one, the most popular one, because it affects the most amount of Americans, is the child tax credit. Currently, child tax credit is set to expire after this year and go down to $1,000 per child. You might be like, man, that's not that much money. Anything before 2017, that was kind of the money you're getting, but it was a little bit different because you had exemptions and stuff like that. What is set to happen right now is, if nothing was to be passed, this is goes to $1,000 at the end of 2025. What they are trying to do is either maintain the current 2000 levels that we have right now for the younger kids. There have been talks to push this up higher. I've seen talks as high as $5,000, $6,000. There's probably 0% chance it goes anywhere that high. If you think about the average person making $50,000 a year, if you have two kids, you have zero tax bill. A large amount of this child tax credit is not even refundable. Making the child tax credit too large doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, because also a lot of times it phases out. If you make a bunch of money where you're going to utilize that much in credits, you probably make too much money to get the credit in the first place. All in all, child tax credit's a popular one. I'm not okay with this one. It's a good one. Anyone that gets excited for getting money for having a kid doesn't realize the true expense of having a kid, but yeah. I do think this one's pretty fair. It is an extremely, extremely abused one. Generally, fraudulent tax returns that are filed, this is what they're going after. Because you don't need to make any money, and if you can get the Social Security number of three kids, this is where they see a lot of frauds. This is the only time, and like, you look at this and you're saying, why isn't this more popular? It is really, really popular on it, but child tax credit, earned income credit on those both are a thorn in the IRS's side, because probably for every five legitimate ones, they get a fraudulent one. But we'll see that. I think it's pretty much a guarantee it's going to be at least $2,000, maybe $2,500, maybe $3,000, maybe some sort of graduated scale for age. But we should see that at pretty much the same capacity we have seen it. Another one on here that is a very, very valuable one for you guys, but seldom talked about, is the QBI deduction, the Qualified Business Income Deduction. What that is if you're a qualified business, which if you're an auto repair shop, more or less you guys are, you only have to pay tax on 80% of your earnings. If your shop makes $100,000, you get a 20% deduction, or a $20,000 deduction, you pay tax on $80,000. Really, really good one. Essentially, if you look at it, it's like having a 20% discount on the tax rate of small businesses. Extremely, extremely popular. We had never seen this before 2017. Currently, it is set to expire at the end of this year. I do not think that this one will expire. Both sides of the aisle, this is a pretty good one. This is one of my favorite ones they put out there for other than one reason, which I'll tell you guys in a second. But I think from my personal experience, this works on the people it should work on. It phases out on the people it should phase out, other than one very important group here. And yeah, I think that this kind of rewards the people that are shouldering a lot of the tax load. Think about small business owners. Yeah, you guys pay a good bit of income tax. You guys pay a massive amount of payroll tax, sales tax, real estate taxes, personal property taxes. You get the point. Most of the calls that I've seen on this is for it to stay the same. It's 20% right now. It could go up to 22%. I've seen some calls for that. But more importantly, there is one big thing we need Congress to change. I need you guys to write your senators on this. I need you to make sure people are aware of this. Your accountant cannot get a QBI deduction. I'm not sure what accounting firms did to Congress to piss them off, but qualified business income means that the business income is qualified, which means not all of it qualifies. And unfortunately, one of the excluded groups is accounting firms. It's a great option. I really love this program. And doesn't that say a lot when I love it and I don't even get to use it? Maybe next year, if you guys write enough letters, Parmelis will be using the QBI deduction. But currently, a lot of professional services, lawyers, accountants, engineers don't qualify for this stuff. The idea behind it is, I don't know what they're doing it. I think that they just don't like Hunt. Here we are. QBI deduction, like I said, set to expire this year, pretty popular. There's another one on here that you guys probably didn't even know about this, but when you guys buy equipment, you guys buy vehicles, you guys can either take 179, which means depreciate the entire amount in the first year, or you can take bonus depreciation, which means you can depreciate the entire amount in the first year. Slightly different, some things we can use it for, some different tax treatment on the state level for that stuff, but you probably don't even remember a time when you didn't have 179 or really high 179 limits. Again, set to expire this year. Extremely popular. I can't see them getting rid of that. I also can't see them expanding it because you guys can't even hit the limitations as it is right now.
Shop owners, are you struggling to find and retain top-tier talent for your automotive shop? Introducing Promotive. On the web at gopromotive.com. With over 40 years of combined industry and recruiting experience, we're the ultimate staffing solution. We go beyond traditional agencies. Our team provides dedicated recruiters and account managers advising on processes, compensation, and benefits. We focus on placing technicians and service advisors with shops that offer the best culture, training, and long-term growth opportunities. Trust our experience to match the right talent to your shop. We carefully select shops that value employee excellence and provide an environment for success. Our dedicated team leads the entire process, leveraging our industry knowledge and expertise. Partner with Promotive and experience their advantage to help you build a high-performing team that drives your shop's growth. Visit GoPromotive.com today and let us help find and keep the best talent in the industry.
So the last one on here of the stuff that we know about, the ones that we know are probably going to have to be addressed on it. And the last one on here is called the SALT limit. The SALT limit stands for state and local taxes. SALT, pretty clever. The idea right now is on your personal tax return, if you have itemized deductions, you're allowed to deduct your real estate taxes, personal property taxes, sales tax in some situations, and state income taxes paid. So great, you live in Maryland, you pay a gajillion dollars in the form of real estate taxes, pay even more taxes for your state income tax on it. No big deal, I at least get to deduct it on my personal tax return. That was exactly the case until 2017. After that, with all of these expanded cuts, one of the big limitations here was this SALT cap. After 2017 and the current rules right now said, yeah, you can deduct all that state, local, personal property tax, state income tax, but only up to $10,000. Any of you guys sitting here that have a state that has reasonably high taxes, you might even be close to that with your real estate taxes alone, let alone what you pay to the state. This one is a wildly unpopular limitation. There is virtually no one that likes this limit, but it is extremely political. The whole idea behind this was when this was enacted, essentially the idea from the federal side of things was, we are letting people in states, and generally these were Democratic states, that had higher taxes. The feds are subsidizing these people's high taxes by giving everyone a deduction for this. If you looked at this, it was almost a line between red and blue of the most affected states. The most affected states by the state and local tax limits are ones that have higher income taxes, higher sales tax, higher real estate taxes, higher everything. Right now, there is a call to get rid of it. I don't know that you can entirely get rid of it because the SALT limitation kind of outweighed some of these other cuts and things that you have. If the average small business person was able to get the QBI deduction and the SALT limitation was to be eradicated or increased a good bit on this, would be a massive, massive change for you guys. All this stuff that we talked about, the things have been probably the biggest increase for you guys is that QBI deduction. The QBI deduction, whether you know it or not, was probably the biggest tax saver out of the 2017 tax cuts on it. And then of the changes on it, the one that probably costs you guys the most money on it is the SALT limitation, that $10,000 SALT limitation. If you're sitting here, small business owner, really any business owner here, you want to see that QBI deduction remain and hopefully increased on it. And if you see on the news that they get rid of, they increase that SALT limitation, that's probably going to help you as well too. Like I said, I think we're going to see those four things on there. At what level, that's to be determined, but we are going to see SALT cover, 179, child tax credit, QBI deduction, that will be there. It's here to stay. Maybe they increase it, maybe they change it, but we'll see that again. But let's talk about the more fringe stuff. I think of the four things that we go down through here, I don't think that we're going to see any of those in this capacity. Could we have some at some level, very, very modified? Sure, but I'm going to go with the only thing that we might see is something on the Social Security side of things. With that being said, let's talk about them. We have no tax on Social Security, no tax on tips, no tax on overtime. You guys knew I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to give you a bonus one. This is one that we had not seen for really ever. And a couple of weeks ago, somehow this got floated out there. But what's called a millionaire tax? Some states have this. It's been talked about a lot. It is very, very publicly popular. But essentially, the talks of what this possibly could be is an additional 2% tax on people that make over $2.5 million. There is already some stuff. There is Medicare surcharges and a lot of different things for passive income. Not a whole lot for earned income. What would that do is it would take the top tax brackets from roughly 40% up to 42%. But what they're talking about now is currently what they think the top tax brackets will look like is they'll actually have an overall decrease of all the tax brackets. They're talking about this bill, the largest tax cut in U.S. history. I would almost guarantee that even if it's not just kind of a bit of a bait and switch, all the brackets will drop down. If they were to pass this millionaire tax, would that actually be an increase for millionaires? Probably not. If we're at 39.6 now, it would be almost 42% without any changes. If they do this millionaire tax, it'll be, yeah, you are now paying 39.6, which is the same before, but people that are making less than 2.5 million are only paying 37.6. I'm not sure if I like this one or not. I think that there is a large argument there that these people are making a lot more money, and so that 2% is not going to be missed. From my capitalist side of it, it's completely unjust. It's completely unfounded. Like we've talked about time and time again, these people making that much money are, if you use people making over $2.5 million, I would argue that's probably 40% of our tax base. Yeah, it's a massive amount of money. And so you're trying to tell me that that person paying 39.6% on $2.6 million worth of money is not fair, and that you think that if they paid 41.6, you'd feel a lot better. I don't think you would. I don't think that the government would benefit. I don't think that the average American's life would be significantly improved by this. I don't think that people would take it lying down and wouldn't do stuff to avoid this. And yeah, I don't know. I don't think this will get passed. Like I said, this is publicly very popular. Trump has publicly in the last couple of weeks been in favor for it. But most importantly, the people that donate to these guys hate it. And I don't think it'll get passed. Will it? Maybe not. But yeah, we're never going to celebrate a tax increase on this podcast. Before we get into tips and overtime, let's talk about the one that I do think could happen. It's the easiest one on here, and that's no tax on Social Security. Currently, right now, there is already tax code in there. If you are retired and you get Social Security benefits and you don't make any other money, you're not paying tax on your Social Security. Maybe on a state level, but on a federal level, if you don't make any money, you don't get taxed. Even as you start to make money on it, generally, you're not taxed on the entire amount of Social Security. To have no tax on Social Security would really be kind of a little bit of a tall tale here to say that they are enacting this. That would just be changing the limitations. So I put this one down in the maybe category, the campaign promise category, but really that should be moved up with bonus depreciation, QBI deduction. If they really want to make these cuts on Social Security, especially if you do Social Security for the elderly, not Social Security disability, it would be very easy to do. It would be very hard to abuse on this. All of this stuff gets reported. And again, I think a good thing and something that I've always argued on this. Taxing Social Security is a really strange one to me because you're taxing money that I already paid tax to put in there. So I worked, and by me being born in this country, I am subject to Social Security rules. So I'm going to give you guys Social Security money, which you guys are supposedly going to invest for me so that when I retire, you guys can give it back to me. Think about it this way. I got this money. I didn't get a deduction for it, but I gave it to you guys. You guys get to hold it for the next 40 years, and then you guys just have to pay me a pretty bad return on investment by the time I retire. Imagine if you went to someone and you said, yeah, I'll do that, but you're going to pay tax on it when you get it. I didn't get tax deduction for it now, but I pay tax on it when you pay it to me later. Yeah, that would be the worst investment ever. I wouldn't even give them any money, let alone 7% of my wages. But here we are. It doesn't make any sense. We don't get a tax deduction on this. You're retired. You've made all this money. The government got to hold it. And for that pleasure, now they get to tax it again. Social Security tax? Absolutely not. I still don't think that there's a good chance. This would be the easiest one out of all of them to do. They already have this stuff. Increase the limits. Make it that no one pays tax on it. But again, I don't think that they're going to do it here. Let's go to the last two. Tax on overtime and tax on tips. These are both in the same category, and I have the same thoughts on both of them. I do not think that either one of these will get passed, and I really, really hope that one or both of them does, because we have probably the biggest planning opportunity out of all of the stuff we talked about on these. If we go to there is no tax on tips, you guys will have tips in your business. How? I haven't figured it out yet. Some of you guys are already doing this. But if you can go to your technicians and look at it like a server and say, I'm going to make up half of their wages in base pay and half of that in tips. Who pays those tips? Who knows? But if we can do this in a way where our technician, our team gets the same amount of money and more of that stays in their pocket, we are going to figure out a pay plan that incorporates tips in there. Same thing. Most of you guys are exempt from overtime. Most of you guys don't even pay overtime to your team. You are taking care of them. If they're flat rate, they're exempt from this stuff. I'm not saying that you guys are trying to do anything illegal, but there's a lot of implications and generally negative right now of calling that stuff overtime. However, if overtime is now not taxed, I would imagine that most every single shop in the country and arguably most every small businesses are going to start to have overtime. This is the biggest reason of why I want to see this happen, but this is the biggest reason of why I don't think it's going to happen. This is ripe for abuse, and if they do it, we're going to try and jump on this quick because I cannot imagine that they do it in any capacity for any amount of time before people, just like myself, realize there is an opportunity here and an opportunity to probably save some serious money. Does all of it have merit? Absolutely. Who are the lifeline of our economy that are making the tips, that are working overtime? This is the kind of stuff that should be rewarded. Social Security, same exact idea. These are people that built our country over years, have paid into this stuff. You can't look at a more deserving class of not being taxed on it. But then again, nice guys never finish first. We will see. Some of this pass, will none of this pass? At this point, it's hard to tell and will take even longer to understand the impacts or changes, even if there are any to note. As always, even if you have no control over what happens to these, changes will most likely affect you and your business. And understanding these events will hopefully allow you to grow and adapt your business to suit. Please share with friends if you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes. Shoot me an email at podcast@parmalis.com. Just want to say thanks again for listening on the Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find all shows on the aftermarketradionetwork.com and on your favorite podcast listening apps. Thanks again for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Hunt on your favorite podcast listening app. Let him know what you'd like him to cover. His email is in the show notes. Hunt is all for advancing the aftermarket.